Parsha Yisro starts off the following way. It says, there you go. It says, Vayishma Yisro Chowin Midyan. Chosin Moshe has Kosher also looking for Moshe Lizor Amo. Kiyosi Hashem Yisrael Mimitrayim. Yisro heard everything that happened to Bnei Yisrael, to Moshe and to Bnei Yisrael, his people, and everything that God did to them because he took them out of Mitzrayim. Now, later on in the Parsha, strangest thing in the world, literally one of the strangest things you've ever heard. Yisro gets up and he gives a suggestion to Moshe. And he says, you know what, Moshe, I got a great idea. Why don't you make judges? Why don't you get up and you make judges? Now, let's think about this for a second. There's something wrong. Something wrong. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu to make judges, who, and I'm saying this in the nicest possible way, who the heck is Yisro to get up and say, make judges? He's a guy. I need to put it this way. Okay, so now he's a gear. And he's a father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. Who the heck is he? If Moshe Rabbeinu was never told by God to do it, then you don't do it. Simply put. And Yisro says, I'm sure if you would ask God, he would agree with me. Who are you? That's like the most conceited statement I've ever heard before in my life. God would agree with me if you would ask him. You just haven't asked him yet. But I'm sure he'd agree with me. This is one of the strangest things you've ever heard before. You know what? And for that, he gets a partial? Entire partial?
You don't ask, you don't get. You know?
You don't ask, you don't get. This is way too Gaivadic. Way too Gaivadic. Not only does he get the partial named after him, he gets the partial of Matan Torah. Is together with Yisro. This is not just Stalma Parsha. He gets Matan Torah together with him. With him making a suggestion, being like, hey, I got a great idea for you. Such a strange idea.
Why is that such a big deal that the Parsha is named after him? Why is that like a question that's like, oh my God, it's got the Parsha.
I definitely hear you. In the Hasidic way of thinking, the beginning of a Parsha and the way that this Parsha starts off stands for the entire Parsha. It stands for everything in this Parsha. Everything in this Parsha can be summarized, summed up with Yisro. Now why? So the Hasidim say, Yud Taru, that a Yud, which is Yehud, a Jew, keeps 606 mitzvos more than any guy. Taru, Taf Resh Vav, is 606. And they say that stands for the whole Parsha. Yisro stood for the Yehudi that kept the 606 extra mitzvos. But it's still, that's the reason why they get it, that Yisro stands for something, that his whole name stands for something, and that the whole Parsha is named after him. But still, just from Smichas of Parshas, forget about the fact that the Parsha is named after him. Smichas of Parshas, Yisro goes out and tells him, Moshe Rabbeinu goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, great idea, unbelievable idea. And then the Torah is named. And then the Torah is given over to Klal Yisrael. What is the connection? What's the connection? So the fact is, Yisro did this purely l'shem Shemayim. Purely for the sake of heaven. How do I know that he did it purely l'shem Shemayim? It's a pasuk. You know, when he made this decision to make everybody, to make judges in Klal Yisrael, he pasuled himself. He made himself pasuled. Him and his children could never, ever become, they never, ever could become judges, ever, in Klal Yisrael. Isn't that an unbelievable thing? Look at the pasuk, Yud Ches Pasuk Chav Beis. It says, V'shoftos on the koleis, they will judge the people at all times. V'yekola davar agadli aviwe lecha, kol davar akaten yishpituayim. Any big thing, they'll go to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Any small thing, they'll judge themselves. V'hakom yalecha, and they'll be mekel, they'll lighten the load from you. V'nasu itach, and they'll do it with you. Says the Medrash, itach is with you, they have to be domin lecha, they have to be similar to you, they have to be full-fledged Jews. A judge cannot be somebody who is the son of a ger or a ger himself. The son of a ger or a ger can no longer become a Jew. So what Yisro just did was essentially took himself out from ever being a judge. Him and his children can never be a judge ever again. His grandchildren maybe, but him and his kids can never become judges. So you know that this is L'shem Shemayim. You think that Yisro, if he was into Gaiva and he was into everything, he'd be like, come on, I could help you. I'd be able to help you out. But he wasn't. He wanted everything good for Klal Yisrael, not for himself. So he said, get judges. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, oh, you're a good judge. You know everything. You should be the guy to help me. And Yisro said, no, not me. People like you. Other Jews. I don't want anybody else. I just want you. And because then we know we did it with Shem Shemayim. That still doesn't answer everything. What's up with Yisro? Okay. And that doesn't even answer why Yisro wouldn't refuse to be a judge. Why did he suggest, don't let me be a judge? What was wrong with him being a judge? Why not let him be a judge? What was wrong with that? Okay, I'm going to say something right now. It's going to be a little extreme. Some people are going to get angry. And I just hope, if I get through this without getting punched or anything, it'll be a good day. It'll be a good day. Last week's parsha of Yibeshalach Paro is on. The Lord Nachum Elohim Derech Eretz Plishim Ki Karovu Ki Amar Elohim Ben Nechema Am Berosam Mochamah V'Shavu Mitzrayimah. Very long pasuk. Paro sent out the people He didn't let them go through Derech Eretz Plishtim, through the way of the Plishtim, because it was too close. Because God said, maybe the people are going to see there's a war, and they're going to run back to Mitzrayim. So the Chassam Sofer says, what's shot behind that? He says that the word Derech Eretz Plishtim is a very strange way of putting it. Why don't you say Derech Plishtim? Or Al Yidei Eretz Eretz Plishtim, or something like that. What's Derech Eretz Plishtim? So the Chassam Sofer is an awesome board. He has, I mean, this board is just huge. He goes into why we learn the way we do, why the Reform people are wrong. He was very into knocking down the Reform. At that time, that's when Moses Mendelssohn's people were getting all powerful. The Chassam Sofer was into knocking down. He used to say, Chodosh Asur Min HaTorah, that anything new is Asur from the Torah. It refers to new grain, but he was using it as any Chodosh that is made by the Reform movement is absolutely Asur from the Torah, and he can't do anything with it. The Plishtim were very cultured. They're very cultured people. They were those people that drank tea and that sat, they had tea parties and they had garden clubs and they sat there with like their monocles and their $1 million watches in their huge mansions, looking out into the yard, sipping their tea, saying like, oh, by Jove, using those words with servants and maidservants, people working for them and everything. Very cultured. When they sat down at a table, you can guarantee back straight up. When they took the spoon, they made sure the fork was on the left, the spoon was on the right, and they did it correctly. Going ahead and doing correctly, just eating it perfectly without moving a muscle, maybe perhaps moving their mouths just a little bit, using the napkin right around their, you know, making sure that they wiped off anything that came off, and never, ever being at a table without a jacket? Tasnish doesn't work. You can't do that. And to be the people that were just extremely cultured. The Plishtim, not the Palestinians, didn't know clue what a human being is. The Philistines were people that were unbelievably cultured and that had an ability to have Derech Eretz. They had pure, pure Derech Eretz. So what Bnei Israel thought was, well, if we're going to get the Torah, the people in the Mitzrayim, the Mamas didn't even know how to eat correctly. They ate out of garbage dumps. They ate at the wrong times. They had no idea what meals were. They were slaves their whole lives. They had no idea what a regular meal was like. So if you want a guy like that to go ahead and get the Torah, you think that the first thing that person has to do is learn Derech Eretz. He's got to figure out how to live a life. And after he becomes a normal person, then you can get him to get the Torah. And then he'll be able to learn Torah. But if you learn Torah first, you're just going to be an uncouth person learning Torah. A guy sitting there, not knowing what he's doing, and being all dirty and disgusting, going out and learning Torah. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, heck no. I don't want that. They should get the Torah first, and then afterward they should learn Derech Eretz. But don't let them go to Eretz Plishtim. Ki karovu, it's too close to them. Ki umarokim peninachem ha'om berosu mochomo, when the Jews see a war of the Yitzhahara and they see what the Torah is like, they'll enjoy their lives better when they were cultured and living like the Plishtim and living under their Derech Eretz. So you can't live like that. You can't start off your life learning about the Derech Eretz Plishtim, about the other things in life, and then learn Torah. You gotta learn Torah first. And after you learn Torah, that's when you get into everything else. But first you gotta learn Torah. The first thing you gotta do is learn Torah and nothing else. Am I knocking out any school system aside from a cheder? Yeah. Pretty much. This is what I'm doing. Am I being that extreme? Yeah. Now, am I gonna tweak it a little bit? Yes, I'm going to tweak it a little bit. The Chassam Sofer held mamish. Mamish, it was usur to bring your kid to learn any type of any secular subject until they were 25. 25. 25. Sorry? What do you care? 25. At the age of 25 is when he started allowing it and started, do you want to go see them? You can go see them. Go hang out with them. So at 25, that's when he started getting around. He started saying, now you guys can learn. Now you guys can go learn about science. Now you can learn about math. Now you can learn about everything else in the world. But until then, the Chassam Sofer quotes a Ramah, Shalos HaTshuvos Ramah, that person should be put in Cherem. Cherem! For learning any other subject aside from Torah before he's 25. Chassam Sofer was extreme. Unbelievably extreme. What? It was the times, 100%, because of the Chodosh. Because the Reformers are around. Ki karovu, it's so close to you. You know you want it. And you know that if you then see the Torah, you'd be like, that's what the Torah says? No. It's obvious from science that it's the exact opposite. You see from my math that there's no way the Torah could be correct. You'll say the Torah is wrong. But the science and the math that I grew up with are correct. But if you go the other way, you say the Torah is different, you learn Torah your entire life, and then all of a sudden you see something in science, what, the world's round? No, it's not, that's against the Gemara Chagiga. Interesting, no? Interesting. All the mice, I can learn up the Gemara Chagiga differently. If you learn the other things first and then you see the Gemara Chagiga, you'll say to yourself, oh, the Torah is wrong. But if you learn the Gemara Chagiga and then you look at the world, then you'll say, here's how we have to explain the Gemara. Two totally different ways of looking at things. Two totally different ways of looking at things. And that's what happened if they would have gone to the Pleshim. Now I'll tell you something even more interesting. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told he went, after this whole thing happened, Mimacharos, Vayishav Moshe Lishpot Ha'am. Moshe sat down to judge the people. Anyone want to tell me what he was judging? What happened? What were they judging about? Let's say it was the day after Matan Torah. Let's say it was the day after Yom Kippur. Did anybody steal something from somebody else? Were there issues of Shalom Bayis? Choshen Mishpat Shilas? Well, what was going on? Every Rishon has this problem. What was he judging? Where is the Mishpatim that Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach Bnei Yisrael and everybody comes up with the answers? He was judging about money that they found at the Yam Suf, who gets to keep it. They were judging about things that they had in Mitzrayim. They were judging about this and that. And everybody's going into something. Everybody asked about that sort of thing. Later on, Moshe tells Yisrael, he says the following. Yisro tells him, what are you doing? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ki yelam davar b'ayulai, when something happens, then they come to me. What does he say? V'shafatidhi bein ishu bein reyu, I judge between one man and his friend. V'odati es chukei olokim es torosav, and I tell them the laws of the God and all of his Torahs. Now, simply put, that would mean that they come up to me and they say, what's the halacha in this situation? I tell them what the Torah says about such a situation. But it seems a little bit different. I judge between a man and his friend, is the wording that he says. And then later on, Yisro says to him, these hearts have the chukim and the Torahs. You'll still warn them about the chukim and the Torahs. There will be other judges as well, but you're going to tell them that. You'll then tell them the ways that they should go on and the deeds that they should do and all the different things that they should do. That's what the next pasuk says. Anybody know what those words refer to? Anybody know the Gemara Bam Metzia? Vodat lahem is a derech yokuva that's a masa asher yasun. Anybody seen the Gemara Bam Metzia that goes into it? Sofas Omdin? You ready for it? Vodat lahem to teach them a trade. As a derech to do gnilos chasodim. Yehu biker cholim. Ba that they should bury the dead. That's a masa din. Asher yasun lifni mishur as a din. What does that have to do with halacha? What does that have to do with halacha? He's telling them to do gnilos chasodim. He's telling them to learn that there's such a thing called din. He's telling them to do lifni mishur as a din. Lifni mishur as a din is not halacha. Is it? Well, what's halacha? Is that pure halacha or is it just something he's supposed to do on the side? And on this, he's teaching them a trade? Moshe Rabbeinu is teaching them a trade? Wouldn't that be better for everybody else to teach them a trade? What's going on here? Sifra Schwab? Moshe Rabbeinu did the exact opposite. He taught them and will continue to teach them, even according to Yisro, the way that they have to live their life. The halachos, that will be taught by the judges. The judges will tell them all the halachos of Kosha Mishpat, Eben Ezer, Yoredeah. That's all them. Arachayim, and how to live your daily life. That Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say, and nobody else is going to get involved in. Because Yisro knew that the way you need to have everything is through a Rebbe. You need a Rebbe. You can't just learn Derech Eretz from a Stamba person. You can't watch a tape and learn how to use a fork. You got to see it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had to teach them himself through the Torah and after they got the Torah how to do Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, the way a person is supposed to live their lives, is not supposed to be based on what the Goyim think you're supposed to live your life as. It's only supposed to be according to how Moshe Rabbeinu tells you how to lead your life. It's got to be the Jewish way of leading your life. And if there's a stira, if they say that it's better to hold your fork in your left hand, and the Jews say it's better to hold it with your big toe, and to keep with your toe and to eat with your toes, you go with Moshe Rabbeinu. You go with Moshe Rabbeinu. No matter what they say, and they say, it looks foolish, and you yourself think to yourself, it's foolish. Why in the world would we do that? Moshe Rabbeinu had to be in charge and tell them, this is what's right. You guys are wrong. And the entire world is wrong. The entire world is wrong. We have to try to understand it. But still we have to understand, so we have to go even further. What's the difference between the Derech Eretz of the Pleshim and the Derech Eretz of Bnei Yisrael? What is the real difference? I mean, they're both Derech Eretz, right? And Lamaisa, both of us hold, you got to have a fork. So what's the difference between us? What's the difference between them? So here we go. When we have midos, when we have certain character traits that we have to fix up, all we're trying to do is compare ourselves to God. Mahu chanun rachum, afatah chanun rachum. If He's gracious and merciful, you have to be the exact same way. The way that we act cannot and should not be defined by how other people do it. We have to be defined by God. And whatever God would do, you would do. Tell me, if you see a mother bird with a baby bird underneath it, and you're walking by a tree, what's your first thought? First thought is, oh, that's so sweet. The mother bird is taking care of his little bird. Is your first thought, take that mother bird, throw it on the ground, get it out of here. Then take the egg, pick it up, and eat it? Is that what you think? Absolutely not. It's a lesson. Maybe Yaakov, just you. But otherwise, you're not going to think that way. Nobody thinks that way. But the Torah says that's what you got to do. So what's right and what's wrong? And how are you supposed to decide it? Oh, that's the major difference between Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu's thinking. Want to go for this? Let's go. Medrash says that Yisro told Moshe Rabbeinu, I allow you, the little Medrash says it as well, I allow you to marry my wife, my daughter, I'm sorry, my wife would be impossible. I allow you to marry my daughter Tzipora. I allow you to marry Tzipora. But, and there's a big, big if, only if you allow your first child to be a servant to Avodah Zarah. That's what Yisro told him. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Sure, not a problem. I don't understand. First of all, we know that Yisro went up against all of Avodah Zarah. In Parsha Shmos, Yisro's daughters were ostracized from everybody. They were being harassed by the other farmers, by the other shepherds. Why? Because Yisro didn't believe in Avodah Zarah anymore. He started to believe in God. So therefore, what happened? So Yisro said, I don't believe in God anymore. Everybody said, what, you fool? They started making fun of him. They started harassing his daughters. Moshe Rabbeinu came on that day, saved them, and therefore he came over to Yisro's house. That's the whole story. And at that moment, Yisro said, all right, but I want that son for Avodah Zarah. What was Yisro asking? What was Yisro asking for? He didn't believe in Avodah Zarah anymore. That's number one. Number two, why did Moshe say yes? What was he thinking? What kind of a person would say yes to that? Yeah, I want my kid to worship Avodah Zarah. What is he, a Russia? Oh, is he a Kofar and a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What in the world is he thinking that he said yes to it? Why would he agree? What kind of an idea is that? Okay. Yisro's thought was the following. See how great he became? You know why he became that great? Because he went around to every other religion and checked out the Buddhists, checked out Islam, checked out Christianity, checked out Confucianism, checked out every single little religion in Africa, all the weird ones, checked out every single little religion and realized they're all fake. Every single one. He had problems with every single one. Until he came to God, God who art in heaven, and realized, oh, that's the Iker. And he realized that was it. He knew the Jews from before. He's a grandson of Avraham Avinu. He's not a nobody. He's a grandson of Avraham Avinu, the son of Midian, the grandson of Avraham Avinu. He knew what the Jews were. He was an advisor to Paro and Mitzrayim, and he was the only one who was on the Jew side. He knew what the Jewish God was. But he wanted to check out everything else. He went to Mitzrayim to go check out their God. He went to Saudi Arabia to go check out their God. He went everywhere to go figure out their God. But he would never even thought of doing other things. How are you guys? Never went to any other thing. What's up, Sean? Yisro said to himself, you know what the way of going around the world is like? The way of going around the world is supposed to be, you go and you check out every other religion first, and when you reject every single one of those, then you look at God, and you say, God? Oh, that's what I should believe in. But if you just start off with God and you don't check out anything else, it's not going to be worth it. You're going to start having doubts. And in the end, you're not going to be successful. That's what Yisro thought. So when he said, I want Gershom to worship Avodah Zarah, what he told Moshe Rabbeinu was, you think Gershom is going to be so great if he starts off learning all about the Torah? He's not going to be anything. He's just going to keep it because you keep it. He's not going to be his own man. He's going to be somebody who's just copying you. He's not going to do anything else. He's going to be a mindless droid who's sitting in a base Yaakov school system. He's just doing what everybody else is doing. And he's not going to be his own person. He's got to figure out God on his own. He can't just do it with everybody else. So let him go check out all the other Avodah Zarah. And then afterward, he'll come back to Judaism. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, how do you know he's going to come back? He said, so I'll be his teacher. And because I know what the Iker is, I'll push him toward one way and not the other. So let me be his teacher. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed on condition that Yisro was his teacher. If anybody else teaches him, I'm out. I'm taking Gershom out. I'm taking him out of that public school system. If anybody else teaches him, he's out. But as long as Yisro is the teacher and Yisro still believes in God, I agree. Let him learn a little bit about the other things and then we'll see what happens. I agree reluctantly, I should say. But the second kid was his. Does that a little bit explain the names? First name that he named his children, the first child that he had, his name was Gershom. Second kid, Eliezer. Gershom means I'm a convert in a strange land. Eliezer means God saved me. What would you name your first kid? God saved me. Of course you'd name your kid God saved me. Why would you even think about naming your kid after I'm a convert in a strange land? Why would you even think of that? The pshat is because that wasn't his kid. That wasn't his child. Gershom was not his. It was Yisro's kid. His was Eliezer. Now, you know the big difference between Eliezer and Gershom? Eliezer, does anybody know anything, any medrash about Eliezer? Eliezer ben Moshe? He didn't become the leader. But Moshe Rabbeinu asked for him to become the leader. There's only one medrash that they say about Eliezer. He had 600,000 children. 600,000 kids. Yeah, a lot of wives. Yeah, probably lived for a while. The pshat, whether there's a pshat beyond the medrash, I don't know. But the drush beyond the medrash is trying to say that he was equal to 600,000 people from Klal Yisrael. He wasn't as great as Yehoshua, who was above 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael, but he was equal to 600,000 people of Klal Yisrael. He was equal to all of Bnei Yisrael. His learning was unbelievable. It was on par with Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how great Eliezer was, just not as great as Yehoshua. Gershom, you know what Gershom was? Gershom had a son, and you've seen him later on in Tanakh, at the end of Shoftim, by Pesel Micha, by the idol of Micha. So Micha got a Kohen to serve as the priest for his idol. You know what his name was?
Ben Menashe.
Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. Says Chazal, it's Yonasan ben Gershom ben Moshe. And the Nun is put in there to hide the fact that it was Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. Gershom's son worshipped the Avodah Zarah. Why? Because inside there was a little bit that Yisro got in him that when he worked, he saw Avodah Zarah, he had a little bit of a taiva for it. I wonder what it's like to worship this Avodah Zarah. He was never allowed to worship. He found out about it and how it works and how it's served. But it's fake. But it's false. He's still got a little bit. If you tell somebody about something great, like a steak, and he's never had a steak before, you just describe it to him. You say, it's a great steak. It tastes awesome. And I had steak for dinner tonight. That's why, by the way. And it has a little bit of barbecue sauce on it. And it's just off the barbecue. And it's right there. And you're sitting there and you cut it and it's smooth as butter. And you take a little piece of it and you eat it. But it's usher to eat. The person's going to sit there and say, like, I really want steak. But you can't have it. But I want it. The guy still wants it. See, even though Gershom was able to overcome his taivas and say, never. Absolutely never. Yonasan couldn't. And his son couldn't. And because of that, a little bit of a mess up happened. By the way, that also explains a lot more. When Moshe Rabbeinu was going down to Mitzrayim, and the snake comes to eat him, by Kesheyu Hashem, and the snake comes to eat him, and he grabs him off to the bris milah. Why? Because his kid didn't have a bris milah. Which kid didn't have a bris milah? Gershom. Yonasan ben Uziel says Gershom didn't have a bris milah. Why? Yisro would never let him. Yisro wanted Gershom to give him a bris milah himself. By the way, when did Yisro get a bris? This week's Parsha. By Yichad Yisro, he took a knife and he cut himself right there. He gave himself a bris milah. At the time when Yisro was raising Gershom, he told Gershom, you're not getting a bris milah until me and you are both ready. When we're both ready, then we'll both get bris milahs. But when Gershom left Yisro, what was the deal? As long as you're his teacher, then I'll allow him to be your child. But when Moshe Rabbeinu left and took Gershom with him, it's not Yisro's child anymore, so he's chayav in a bris milah. So as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu delayed for a second in not giving him a bris milah, then immediately it was destroyed. Okay, we don't want to judge. We don't want to say all these things about, you know, what's going to happen or anything like that. But Amaiso, who messed up over here? Yisro's kid or Moshe's kid? Yisro's idea or Moshe's idea? Yisro's idea was a great, in theory, idea. It's a great idea to send a guy to a public school system, see what's going to happen with him. But 50% of them marry not Jewish. I would say more. 60% of them marry not Jewish. And there may be one kid from that public school system that's unreal, and the kid grows up to be the biggest Talmud Chacham you've ever seen before in your life. Are you going to say it's worth it to send 200,000 kids to public school for one kid to become a tremendous gavon? Is it worth it to have one Rebbe Akiva to lose another 100,000 like him? Or is it worth it to send it to a system where, listen, there may be some people that go down, but for the most part, 95% of them succeed. That's the argument. And that's the argument of Moshe Rabbeinu versus Yisro. Yisro had an idea. The idea was an idea of each individual should have their own individualized attention. Give them their own education, let them learn their own way, and everybody will grow up to find God. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, but what if they don't? And usually they won't. So now what? You're going to mess up Klal Yisrael. Well, Moshe Rabbeinu had this idea. Put them into a system. Are there going to be mess ups? Are there going to be people who sit there and say, I don't like this? Yeah. But for the most part, what's going to happen? The guys are going to be better. There's such an argument that goes through it, and Yisro wasn't wrong. Because Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have agreed to let Gershom do this unless there was something to Yisro's argument. There's an argument both ways.
But Yisro, nobody did what Yisro was doing.
First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu only saw what was happening in Mitzrayim for 20 years. He grew up in Paro's palace. So he did grow up a little bit like Yisrael. Yes, he learned under Amram and Yocheved while he was younger. But he grew up in Paro's palace. So he somewhat grew up like Yisrael. But you're right. You're right. Lamaisa and Israel as a whole didn't do that. They didn't get involved in the Egyptian culture. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself was involved a little bit in Egyptian culture. So he knew that you could succeed in that path.
And Yisrael only finds God because of his involvement with Moshe.
Not true. He found it before that.
He didn't have the bris mila until he attempted
that. The bris mila he didn't have. But remember, he forgot about all the Avodah Zarah. He believed in God before Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Midian. That he for sure had. Because that's when all the people went down. All right, I'm going to say two more things, and this is going to be it. The Ma'aril. The Ma'aril one time went to Sukkot, went to Lublin for Sukkot. And the Rebbe from Lublin, his name was Reb Yitzchak Yaakov. Reb Yitzchak Yaakov was the one in the Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. So when it came to Hallel, he decided to go out to the Sukkah to go make the bracha on the Lulav and Esrog. Why he didn't do it before davening, I have no idea. He did it right before Hallel. So he took the Lulav and Esrog, went out to the Sukkah, and all the Hasidim followed behind him. And they all packed it in into the Sukkah. Before he made the bracha, says the Ma'aril, Rabbi Yitzchak Yaakov took about an hour, shaking himself, getting himself ready to say the bracha, shaking out of fear, shaking out of trepidation of saying God's name. And he's shaking and shaking and shaking and thinking of that. And all the Hasidim started copying. And they all started copying. They all started saying, like, oh, there we go. Look, that's what you're supposed to do. They started thinking of Hashem's name and started shaking themselves. Only the Ma'aril waited until then Yitzchak Yaakov started saying the bracha. And he said the bracha with such unbelievable kavana. That's what the Mario looked at and copied the bracha, not the shakings. The people at Har Sinai, Koam Rolam Esakolos Vetlapidim, everybody saw all the big noises and all the lapidim, the huge things of lightning, that's Koa Shofar, that's the Hora Shane, they saw the smoke. Vayara Am Vayanu Vayamdu Mirachok. The people saw it and they stood far away. But Moshe was not fooled by all the fanfare. He went straight to the Arapel. Moshe Nigash al Arapel. He went straight to the darkness where God was. You know what the pshat is? Sometimes you got to stop looking from the outside, start looking on the inside. We don't have a perfect system. It's not a perfect system. It's not even close to being perfect. We have a system in where we teach you Torah when you're younger. But you have to get it yourself. And you got to stop looking at the tefillah. This is not for you. We're too late for this. This is not for us to be able to sit here and think about. We're too far gone. It's for our kids. What do our kids need? Do our kids need to know pre-algebra by the time they're in seventh grade? Or do they need to know what the Chumash says? What messed you over when you tried learning Gemara? What messed you over? Is it the fact that you didn't know a certain bit of biology? Was the fact that you never really learned how to read a Rashi. What do your kids need? What are your kids going to be into? That's what Yisro said. Send them to the school system that we basically have today, in which they're learning everything, they get confused, and they're not so sure what they're coming out with. The way Moshe Rabbeinu said, and the way it works, is supposed to be, teach them Torah. When your kid, the first words your kid should say, is Torah Tzivolanu Moshe. When he's at home, and you're at home with him, don't ignore him and go to the TV or go to a computer or go eat dinner. Sit down with him and tell over a story from Tanakh. Look over a pasuk in the Chumash. Say over a Medrash. Oh, but a Medrash, is that really pshat? Who cares? If he starts hearing Torah and he sees how excited you are, that the first thing you say to him when you come home is, here's something in Torah that you've never heard before. He'll be excited. But if he doesn't hear that, if all he hears is, oy vey, how much do I have to pay for your tuition? He'll think, well, public school is free. So why wouldn't I just go there? And I'll get a better education. And then I'll be better when I get older. And then I'll be able to pay for somebody else to go learn. That's not what you want to hear from your kid. You want to hear from your kid, I really love to learn. Because for us, it's too late. I'm never going to be the big Talmud Chacham that I've always wanted to be. Never going to be that way. I'm never going to be that guy who gets to sit in a room with all these svarim around him. When somebody comes in, I get to lift up my drooping eyelids and say, I'm sorry, I haven't slept in 4 days. I'm trying to figure out this Tosfos. It's not my job. It's too late for me. I'm never going to be able to do that. I know that sounds like the worst dream you've ever had. For me, greatest dream of all time. But I'm not into it. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm done with that. I'm okay with that. I've accepted that fact. Now we have to think about what our kids going to do. Can our kids have that dream? Are they going to have that dream? Or is that going to be their nightmare? What's it going to be for them? That's the idea behind what the Mario is saying. Now, the final thing. So what's the real shot? Fine, we've given this whole thing of the derech eretz of the goyim and the derech eretz of the Jews. The derech eretz of the plishtim was not the way to go. The derech eretz of the Jews was. So can you please explain to me what's the difference between chokhmas haTorah and chokhmas haTeva? What's the difference between the nature of the world and the nature of the Jews? The nature that we have within the Torah. This is an unbelievable Gemara. If a guy tells you, Yesh Chochma Bagoyim, that there's wisdom by the Goyim, Tamin, believe him. If somebody tells you, Yesh Torah Bagoyim, Al Tamin, don't believe it. Says Rosh Hashanah, what do you mean believe it? Believe that there's wisdom by the Goyim? Is this something? It's not belief. It's not a belief. You can see it. They're very, very smart. They're very wise. They know a heck of a lot more than I do. Of course they know a lot. Of course they have chokmah. What do you mean, Tamin, believe him? Go check it out yourself. You can check it out yourself. You don't have to believe anybody. Go check it out yourself. The pshat is that any chokmah that doesn't let you recognize that God is the creator is not called chokmah by Chazal. It's not wisdom. Is it something in the world? Yes. But if it leads you away from God, then that's not a real chokmah. It's not a real chokmah. Chokmah means, wisdom means, something that helps you understand your life better, so that you serve God better in some way. That can still be through nature. That can still be through the world. That can still be through anything you have, through DNA, through RNA. It can be through anything you have. But if it doesn't lead you to the eventual ability to believe that there's a God out there, then that's not a real chokmah. You ever notice how, when it comes to the other, to nature and other things in the world, let's just give it, our generation is seeing things that the previous generation would never, ever believe has ever happened, would ever happen? Just a little nano iPod, or an iPod shuffle, wouldn't have been imagined by the generation in front of us. They couldn't imagine it. They can't imagine it. There's no way that they would think that that thing could actually exist. The generation before that would never believe that there would be such a thing as a computer. Never believe that there's such a thing. Or that there's certain ways of doing it. Whatever it is, let's use computer as our perfect example. They couldn't even believe that there was such a thing as a computer. The generation before that, they couldn't believe that there would be such a concept as, let's just say, an airplane. Or a jet, or certain weapons that we have. And the generation before that, cars. Generation before that, trains. As things go on, things that are absolutely, you can't even imagine that they would exist. It, not only they exist, they're prevalent, they're prominent. And people look at them as if this is, they're prolific. They're all over the place. These are three pros right in a row. They'll go one after the other. Everybody looks at it and they say, this is easy. And the next generation is going to have something that you would never imagine would be out there. You never imagine could ever exist. Who knows what it's going to be? But they're going to have something that's so around and everybody has it, you're going to sit there and be like, I could never imagine that. You know what works by then? By wisdom of the rest of the world, you build yourself up. You build yourself up. You start off low. Well, let's see how a light bulb works. And then you start yourself getting into electricity. Then you realize what you can do with electricity. And you start expanding on that idea. And each person adds on to that wisdom. And you keep adding a brick to that wisdom. And a person can add on more and more. An invention that they make throughout the entire world is something additional to what they've already had. It's not breaking down necessarily. It's not breaking down. It's taking what they have and building up. And make a huge building. So that it becomes this and this and this and this. And they're not breaking down anything. They're building everything up from one place to the other until it goes all the way high. You see what you can have. Until you get to the most unbelievable thing. The most unbelievable thing. That's what the chokmah of the world is about. By Torah, it's the exact opposite. You cannot add to the Torah. It's allowed to add to the Torah. Lo so sifol adavar hazeh. You can't add on to the Torah. The Word of God is perfect. What we're doing is trying to understand what that Word of God is. We're not trying to add on anything. We're trying to go back and understand what the heck was he saying in the first place. Originally, all they needed was the Aseret HaDibros, and Bnei Yisrael understood, all 600,000 people understood the entire Torah. They needed nothing else. They heard Lo Sirtzach, and they understood 700 mitzvahs. They heard Lo Signov, they understood everything that came with it. They didn't have to be told that Lo Signov doesn't mean don't steal, but it means don't kidnap. They understood it. They don't understand when you hear it from the Word of God, it's right there. At the end of the 40 years in the desert, they started to forget. Because that's the natural progression of things. You start forgetting things. So what do they need to do? They have to write down the Torah. So at least you have it in more words. Start writing down the Torah, and then they realize, oh, we can figure it out from the Torah itself. Later on, that wasn't enough. They had to add on Nevi'im and Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel Aleph and Beis, Melachim Aleph and Beis, Yeshaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel to be written up. Later on, they had to write up the Ksuvim. They had to write more for people to be able to figure out what they're supposed to do and how to understand that Word of God originally. Later on, the Mishnayos had to be written up because people were forgetting even more. Later on, Gemara got written up that people could understand even more. Then the Rishonim, then the Achronim. They all got written up, all for the same purpose, to understand what God wanted in the first place. Not to add on to the Torah, but to say, this is what this means, and that's what this means, and that's what this means, and that's what the Torah means by this. And that's what God wanted us to know. We're not adding on to anything. The idea behind Chokhmas HaGoyim is to add on and to keep building and building and building. By us, it's just to understand what was there in the first place. If a person learns Torah the same way you learn science, not only do you screw up the Torah, you cause a massive Chilul Hashem. Because people will think that's the Word of God. And it's not. It's wrong. It's adding on to what God wanted. It's not what God said. It's the exact opposite. Do you understand? When people go around and they say, Das Torah says the following. The knowledge of the Torah says the following. Do you know what that means? That means not, this is what God wanted. I might think it's wrong. And I might look at it and say, logically, that makes absolutely no sense to me. Absolutely no sense. But this is what God said. That's what Das Torah means. Whether it's used in the correct fashion nowadays, I have no idea. But what Das Torah is supposed to mean is this is what God says. Now when a person thinks what God says, and that if that's done incorrectly and a person mistranslates what God says, you couldn't have a bigger Chilul Hashem. If you have a, I'm giving an example, and I don't believe this actually happened. And I know I was in Eretz Yisrael at the time when it happened. But if you have a Das Torah that comes out, the Rebbe Yashiv says that shetels are usur, you can't wear a shetel. I'm saying this within to explain it a little bit. Rebbe Yashiv never said it to be said out loud to other people, and it was never meant for people to take in the same way. I have that as a Masorah for my Rebbe. It was not meant in that way. But if he said it through Das Torah, that doesn't mean it's Rebbe Yashiv's opinion. Doesn't mean it's Rebbe Yashiv's opinion. Rebbe Yashiv is just a person. He's just a person. The biggest Rebbe we have, and the Rosh Kibahag, the leader of our generation when it comes to Pesach. But he's just a person. What he's saying is, this is what God wants. In science, one scientist can say, this is what I think. And other people can say, I think you're wrong. When it comes to Das Torah, it's that this is what God thinks, and no one can argue. If it's done correctly, there's nothing that we can say, and everyone will have to keep it. It's not done correctly, and that's why everything's messed up. Because not Rebbe Yashiv saying it. It's other people quoting Rebbe Yashiv out of context. And that's why it's wrong. But when Mashiach comes, it's going to be Mashiach speaking the Word of God. And then you got to accept it. So it's going to be easy for me. But let's say Mashiach comes up to me and says, Tzvi, from now on you got to wear a green polo shirt and jeans every day. That's going to be the dress code for the Jews from now on. Why? You want to hear the pshat why? Because what's the reason why we wear these clothes? Because when the Hasidim left Europe, this was the Hasidic, we're not exactly wearing the Hasidic garb, but that's what the Polish people used to wear. And they wanted to remind themselves of the miracles that they had when they were in Poland and they got out of the pogroms and everything, so they wore the Polish garb. When Moshe Rabbeinu left Mitzrayim, he wore Egyptian clothing to remind him of the miracles that happened to him when he was living in Egypt. The Jews, when they left Mitzrayim, when they were in Egypt, they didn't wear Egyptian clothing. When they left, they asked for shirts from the Mitzrayim to wear to remind them. So when we leave America, what's God going to tell us? Wear their clothing so that it reminds you of the miracles that happened to you while you were in America. So maybe he'll tell me, wear a green shirt and jeans. And I'll sit there and be like, what? And I'm going to have to accept it. Because that's what God wants. And I'll sit there and I'll be like, but it's really comfortable. I don't want to wear that. That's going to be extremely comfortable. That's still not what I want to do. And I'm going to have to accept it. I'm going to have to live with it. And I'm going to have to say, okay, I'm going to have to do it. Could be the opposite way. I'm saying it in a way that I think might actually happen. Or I hope will happen. that it can be said in that way. That's the difference between them. It's such a different world. Can I tell you? I'm going to end off. The Shlach Kadosh says, because of this, anyone who ever said in front of the Shlach Kadosh, he made fun of a Tosfos. Says Tosfos, never written by Tosfos. This is a garbage Tosfos. The Shlach Kadosh said that his Rebbe would give him Makas Mardus, would take a lash and just hit him until he died. Hit him until he died. Well, I don't know if he died. Until he fainted. Out of blood. If you ever said about a Rashi, this Rashi makes absolutely no sense at all, he would put him in Chayram. Who the heck are you to talk about Rashi? This is the Word of God. Rashi is translating the Word of God, and you're making fun of that? How can you do that? It's such an extremist point of view, but I told you, I started off with this line up in the beginning. I'm going to say something that is unbelievably extreme. Unbelievably extreme. I'm going to explain it a little bit, but I'm going to tell you in the most extreme manner. Yitzro, and here we go, we'll start up from the beginning. What was Yitzro thinking with the Dayanim? I'm going to say this very honestly. Who says he was right? Who says he was right? Says the Yalkut Reuveni, Yisro's opinion was made by the Sufan himself. That when the Jews heard who became judges, all the Jews said to one another, why'd he get to be picked a judge? I should be picked as a judge. Why'd he become the leader of Klal Yisrael? I should have been the leader of Klal Yisrael. Who's he to become that guy? I want to be that guy. He started Sina, and I guess Sinas Bris, what do we want to call it? Sinas Chinam in Klal Yisrael. Just hatred for nobody, for no apparent reason in Klal Yisrael. Before that, Vayicha Neged Ahor, when they came to Har Sinai, they were together as one. Everybody loved each other. They're sitting with their arms around one another. We love each other. We're all brothers. We're all happy. All of a sudden, Yisro said, all right, let's pick out judges. Let's pick about 80,000 judges. No, I'm sorry, you're 80,001. I'm sorry, you're not going to be a judge. Better luck next year. Why not me? I want to be a judge. Why is he any better than me? All of a sudden, says the Yalkut Reuveni, people started hating one another. People started talking about one another. Did you hear about that guy? He started Lashon Hara. Who says he was right? God agreed, because if Moshe Rabbeinu would have taught Torah to Klal Yisrael by himself, Bnei Yisrael would have been on such a level that they never could sin. They never would have been able to sin. And that's not what God wanted. God wanted them to hear from other people so that they would be able to live lives, challenge themselves, and be able to be good people. Something we got to remember. Yisrael wasn't necessarily right. He got the whole Torah named after him because the way we live our lives now is like what Yisrael says. We don't all listen to the Gadol Ador. We don't all believe that what the Gadol Ador says is straight the Word of God. That's the way our lives are. But is that correct? I'll tell you guys, honestly, 2,000 years ago as an Edom, I don't know what could be less correct. I don't know what could be wronger. Two Bakhti Mikdash was destroyed. What else could be wrong? If it would have been right, don't you think Mashiach would be here by now? It's a world which was chosen by us, by Adam Rishon. It's a world that we continue to live in that fashion, and it's a world that we will continue to live in this way until Mashiach comes. But in the future, says it's a Medrash Rabbah, also go to the Medrash Tanhuma, all we will do is listen to the word of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we won't listen to anybody else. There won't be any other judges. Only Moshe Rabbeinu will be the leader, and there will be no one else with him. And we'll all learn from the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's it. Extreme? Yes. But altogether, it fits all together. Very quickly, the things that we went over today is we said, Nasu, we talked that Yisroel did it L'shem Shemayim, that's number one. Number two, Derech Eretz Plishtim, that he didn't want to go through the Derech Eretz of the Plishtim. But Moshe Rabbeinu taught them his own version of Derech Eretz, that was that. The purpose behind that was to learn the difference between Yisroel and Moshe. Yisroel said, learn other things first and then learn Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu said, just learn Torah. Then we said that Eliezer and Gershon were very different in their thinking and how they ended up. Eliezer was greater in the end. The Ma'aril says, stop looking at the outside, look at the inside, and that was the whole story about Sukkot. And the last thing we said was the difference between the Chokmah of the world versus the Chokmah of Torah. Das Torah versus Das of the rest of the world. That's the difference between them. We live in a world of Yisro. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbat.